Live?
Yeah, man, we live, man. Oh,
and you already know what time it is. You're live with the Flock on Babylon podcast, and we got a special guest in the building, the lawyer, the hip-hop lawyer that everybody needs.
Yeah, man.
Today's a big day. Tory Lanez making the sound. We got a lot to get to. Let's go.
Let's go.
Yo, that was like, a good hype, man. Jeez.
They got so much energy because we was working all day. Listen, man, again, like this, this hair might be the first time in my life that I've ever done some hard work. So it's like, I'm proud of myself.
That was hard work for you?
Listen,
Flocka was a lawyer today.
I woke up at 7 a.m. trying to find where this court, because I didn't know where the courthouse was, what floor, nothing like that, right? So I went to the Metropolitan Place, all right? And then after being there for about an hour, I ain't see no like Daystar Peterson on like the wall. So I said, like, no, what's going on? So then I Googled the judge and figure out like where he was at. So then I eventually found it, right? But then like you actually see me first, which, yo, I have this bad thing, right, where I know I'm gonna get caught lacking one day because it's like my eyesight is horrible, meaning like I don't see nobody, right?
Do you wear glasses? You wear glasses?
Yes, I need glasses, but I don't be wearing it.
Oh my God.
You gotta get that
insurance. So y'all went on a date once you saw each other first time.
No, he spotted me and called me out.
I spotted him. I called him out. And then Flacco came up. He thought he already had gotten an A just for getting there. He's like, yo, I found it, bro. Look, I did all this work. Yeah. I got here. I was like, all right, cool. So then we get in there. Flacco, I don't know what you were doing in there. The whole time, I just heard two things. First, growling. It was like a stomach. That was the stomach.
Yes, growling.
So Flacco's stomach could start growling. And so he gets
were you sitting next to each other?
Yes. Parts, yeah.
Okay.
And so after it starts growling, the whole bench starts shaking. And now Flacco's shaking. And I'm
just he starts sweating.
I was hungry as hell, bro. Wait,
what was he wearing? Was he dressed up like you? Like, how was Flacco dressed like?
Nah,
he looked like a lawyer?
You went into a courtroom looking like that?
No.
Yeah,
but
he had a purple fucking letter jacket on, too.
Yeah, you feel me? Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So,
yeah, just make it obvious to get robbed.
Right?
Good. Yeah.
I try to like pretty it up, right? You know, with the little jacket shit, right? But
you put makeup on.
Yeah, right. So, but then I talked to the lady afterwards, like, you know, please, right? So then I'm actually going to be back for the ASAP Rocky case. You feel me? Cause that's the case that I'm most excited for. But like,
what about day two of Tory Lanez?
Yeah, so like she just told me to like come early. So like I'll be there at like 8 a.m. Like I'm talking about on the dot at 8 a.m.
Wait, so did you have to show like press passes? Like how did you get like they just walked in and it's like this is Flacco from No Jumper? You're getting in or like anyone could show up? Like break that down.
Well, honestly, a lot of people showed up. Like because I think Roc Nation probably told a lot of them to show us. Like, everyone was there. TMZ, ABC News. But honestly, I don't know what the hell any of them were doing there. The people who should have been there was No Jumper. Like, does anybody watch ABC News?
Absolutely not.
Like, what the
fuck? Yeah, old people don't even care about this case, I feel like.
I don't even know what they were doing there.
No, hey, right, look, though. So, like, he actually and inadvertently got me seats, right? Because like we were talking and I was like, damn, okay.
I was like, yo, if there's any press that should be getting a credential, it's fucking No Jumper.
Yeah, right?
You've been covering it the whole entire 3 years that the case has been out.
Yes. And then I like talk very loudly as well. Like I talk
no shit
loud.
Yeah, no, it was like five times. I was like, yo, shh.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you say mad loud?
So
everything.
So
did you like
ask shit? I said, yo, I'm finna go ahead and try to like take this picture. And when I was walking, I was saying, you know what, she actually did a 40-yard dash to me like, whoa, you cannot take no picture of Tory Lanez. But I can give you a patchy comment. I said, I can bet, you feel me? Bet, right? So I guess like me being loud about doing something that's illegal, she actually, you know, like looked out for me that way. And then I also met a No Jumper fan. Oh my God, I forgot my boy name, man. And he's somebody who works for like the DA, like he's an intern for like the DA. And
wait, before you get into that, how tall was Tory Lanez? Like legitimately,
5'8". Right.
Oh, like, so he's not actually
so you
like
seen
five.
Megan
five.
Was in there. Tory was in there.
No. Okay. Nah. Meg comes
tomorrow. That height is actually a part of the trial because she's expected to testify that he shot over a car door.
Yeah.
And the defense attorney
you're
is
lying.
And he's like, nah, Tory's not tall enough to do that shit.
I'm dead ass. Part of her testimony is expected to be that he shoots over the door, and the lawyer brought up his height today. The lawyer was like,
which lawyer? The
what they say though?
The defense lawyer. Okay, he's like, ladies and gentlemen, the jury. You're going to hear that he allegedly shot over a
6-foot
Cadillac Escalade car door.
He's probably 5'2". No. No, I thought he was 5'2", though. He's not 5'8".
They brought like a tape measure.
He's 5'8". Like 5'7", 5'8".
So he's your height.
You saw from a distance. How would you know?
No. And he actually like walked by me because he was like in the back and shit with his, right. But like, yeah, he's like 5'8" because I'm like a little bit taller than him. Like, probably like inch taller.
Did you guys see him walking with his son?
Yeah. Yes, did, I tweeted that out first.
You did? So so Say Cheese and all these other platforms were stealing from you?
Yeah.
Officially, you say they stole it from you.
Yes.
And you were the source.
Bro, I was the first one to tweet, yo, like Tory Lanez has walked into the courtroom with his son wearing a
Tory Lanez
suit.
Has walked into the building.
And do you guys feel like that, did that play anything? Like,
nah, hell
no. Being a lawyer, being in on case for so long, have you seen defendants come in with their kids?
Yeah, everything counts. Yeah. This is a show of incredible importance where every single thing counts. And so you don't know what a juror is going to see. You don't know what a witness is going to, everything counts.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay. So I heard a rumor, and maybe it's true, that Megan Thee Stallion slept with Tory Lanez within the duration of the court hearings. Is that true?
The duration of the court hearings?
Or in the span of like now between the time that this all started.
Well, it came out today and a lot of the, it was all over the place, but you might have seen a headline, you might have seen seven different headlines, but here's the news. The news is in the opening statement, the prosecutor said to the jury that you will hear during the course of this trial Megan Thee Stallion testify and tell you all these things. And as he was listing all the things that Megan is going to tell the jury, he said she's going to admit to you that she had an intimate relationship with Daystar Peterson, Tory Lanez. And so that...
But that was prior to the shooting.
Prior to the shooting, that at the time they were intimate.
So that was a lie, okay.
That flies in the... That shows that she was lying when she went out on the news with Gayle King and said, hey, I never had sex with that guy.
And like, do you feel like that interview from Gayle King and what corresponded to them saying that she did sleep with him, do you think that's going to hurt her at all?
Everything counts.
Yeah.
Because if she shows that she's a liar in general, what else did she lie about, right?
Yeah.
So that's why they tell you after things like this happen, do not go to the press or do not talk to anybody.
Yeah. No, right. But that's what I low-key feel like, right? If Meg would have stayed quiet, Tory Lanez would have probably been cooked, right? But let's like, hey, right? Let's talk.
By the way, it's day one of trial.
Yeah.
Nobody is cooked or not cooked yet.
Now, fact.
Just soft boiled. It's all good. Right?
No.
Everything's in the oven right now. We're going to see how it comes out. Up.
Yeah, right. Hey, right. So let's actually like talk about the prosecutor's like version of the story first.
You love the prosecutor's
version. Yeah, right? You're right.
He was ready to convict.
And then talk about the defense version of the story.
You saw this little fucking white guy buttoned up.
Before you talk, though, I want a concise percentage chance, like over under for Tory and Megan.
It's too soon.
Yeah.
Coming out of today, I have to say that the defense looks way better coming out of today because if you have an easy case, right? If your case is this, hey, here's an international superstar. She's going to come in and testify that man shot her. Here's another woman. She's going to come in and testify that, yes, that man did shoot her. What should you do? You should start your case by putting them on. Instead, they started today's case with two police officers who got, for lack of a better word, listen,
cooked.
People call me bot. They got cooked.
These are the police on Megan's side.
And who called the cop? The prosecutor.
The prosecutor decided to start his case with two cops who testified to stuff that is not in debate. There is no debate that four shell casings were found. There is no debate that this is what was in the car. There is no debate that this is where they were picked up. There is no debate of who was sitting where when the police pulled them over. So the idea that you would start your trial, your presentation of testimony with these useless witnesses that give you nothing is silly. Now, not only did they give you nothing, they went on there and they got cooked. Because they were junior officers. They've been there for 2-3 years. They have no idea what this case is about. They haven't been living with it for 2.5 years. That defense attorney is a defense attorney hired by a platinum-selling recording artist. Okay,
but isn't Megan that too? So you think that
Megan,
she would...
Megan didn't hire the DAs. Yeah. The DAs are just DAs. Those are everyday district attorneys.
Oh, that's the advantage of Tory, though.
That is an average attorney.
So do you feel like you would have did a way better job if you were placed in that situation?
No, I'm not a criminal defense attorney. All I'm saying is that if you have an easy case where there's these two women and they're going to come in and say, I saw that man shot...
Start with them.
Now, instead, they started with the police officers. They got cooked. The one cop was testifying. He was testifying about, hey, we came to the scene of the shooting and we picked up these bullet fragments and we picked up some other stuff. What was the other stuff you picked up? Well, there was some broken jewelry over here. There was a fingernail over here and there was blood splatter everywhere. And then so the defense attorney comes in and he says, hey, can you tell me where the blood splatter was? And he was like, oh, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know where the blood splatter was, right? They're like, nah. It's
like, well, right. Well, they couldn't identify the evidence, right?
Well, so
except for a video.
What should have happened is the prosecutor should have been able to say that at the scene was recovered 8 items. These 8 items are depicted in this picture. In this picture, you will see little markings showing you where each of the 8 items were picked up. Okay. Also, in this picture, I have drawn out for you where the blood stains were seen. And so the investigator could come in and testify that if you start here where the first gun casing is, you can see that this person was probably shot here. They walked around here and they ended up there. That would be death for the defense if the guy could come out and say that. Mm-hmm. Did he say that?
No.
Nah. In fact, he said the defense attorney basically laid out, hey, this is what should happen. Can we do that here? Cop, absolutely not. Why not? I didn't have the markers to mark the evidence. I didn't mark all the evidence. And then
so the marked cops, both under the one as well. Pretty much did a fucked up job when it got to the scene.
Not really. Like, is any of that shit crucial to your case? No. Nah, you could win your case without it.
Yo,
but they decided to go with it. Exactly. Because you know, if you start getting into the testimony, you're gonna have conflicting. I don't know why they went without it, but unquestionably, they didn't have to get.
You gotta think that they would be scared that Megan Thee Stallion and Kelsey, who's the other female defendant, probably are not comprehensive enough to go on the stand and actually test. They have to be scared about their clients not being able to tell the truth because Megan's sitting here lying on guilt.
Wait,
imagine in front of the jury.
Before that, though, right? Let's actually because people probably like what's going on, right? So let's actually like run down the prosecutor's story, the defense story, and then discuss like the, you know,
there's a lot of different things we can talk about. We gotta go chronologically,
right?
So he loved the prosecutor.
Yo, after like the first recess, I told him, bro, Torius, because he said, nah, just wait. Like, no, he's not. And then after the defense came, like I said, yo, like this is like a Jordan game, bro. He came and put up 45 in the fourth quarter, bro, and brought Tory back.
Wait, so what started first? Was it the prosecution or the defense?
A prosecutor, right?
Okay, it's hard to start off.
Yeah, right. So,
but he said they just did ass, and you're saying that they're like Jordan.
No, right?
Does it seem like...
No, right? Hey, right. So look, right? The prosecutor started off good, right? So, hey, right? So, again, like what? And I heard was, yo, that Megan Thee Stallion, her stylist, and Kelsey, they went to a party, right? Yes.
Kylie Jenner's party.
Yeah.
Yes. That makes it more interesting.
Yeah, right? And then Meg called Tory to come to the party. Now, while at the party, Meg got drunk. The prosecutors kind of like skipped over like her being jealous and drunk. And they just said, listen, Tory got to the party. They left the party. And they got in the car and started driving. And while in the car, an argument took place. And Megan Thee Stallion insulted Tory Lanez's musical skills. And then, right?
You ever seen that Dave Chappelle skit? There's a Dave Chappelle skit when he tries to defend Chris Brown. Yeah. And he's like talking about the Chris Brown Rihanna situation. He's like, listen, y'all don't know what Rihanna said to Chris. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, you can't dance.
And that'll do it, though. That'll do it.
It's just like that. I want to jump up.
Nah, she probably called him short.
You can't rap, Tory. You trash.
Nah. Stop, she probably said something about his height. 100%.
So that's the prosecutor's story. She says
she
gets out the car.
And then Tory, how about the car, shot at her 5 times.
Says, dance, bitch.
Yeah, dance. Bro, like, this started off with, dance, bitch. He said, I'm like, what the fuck? Like that's the first worst I've been out of court is dance, bitch.
That sounds like the Joker. Like, that sounds like the ultimate villain saying that.
Yeah.
Like, what? Dance, bitch, dance. Like,
yeah, right. But, right, so he shot at her. She got hit 3 times. Kelsey went to console her. While Kelsey was consoling her, Tory was walking like the fucking Grinch, like the fucking gremlin, right? And then Kelsey seen Tory approach him and said, no, please, Tory, no, stop.
No,
Tory.
Hold on.
And then Tory, yes, sir.
You gotta stop. You gotta let me react.
And then Tory punched her.
Hold on.
Tory punched her, grabbed her hair, and dragged her away, said, bitches, get in the fucking car. Let's go, right?
That's a lie. It's a fucking lie.
So that's my story.
Oh, my God.
That's a lie,
bro. Hold on. Crazy? So everything Flacco just said is a fact.
Yeah.
The prosecution said that.
Yeah. Okay. No, they were really like, but now I'm hearing it again, and I'm just like, yo, what is it?
That's the craziest story I've ever
heard.
He put on the car, slap Kelsey, dance, bitch. Like, so, Tori sounds like a fucking psycho.
Honestly, okay, look, given the context of apparently, I think this is what you guys are going to get into later, that Kelsey and Megan were both having sexual intercourse with Tory Lanez, mm-hmm. as well as, what, Ben Simmons or some shit?
So prosecutors denied that though.
Okay. Well, regardless.
No, the prosecutor's getting into that.
Okay.
But yeah, there was an allegation of Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. But that shit really reminded me about the prosecutor's opening. Mm-hmm. Like, don't you think that they really overpromised? Like, they really.
Oh, it was mad visuals, man.
Yo, they're really going out there saying.
Were they like acting and going on stage like?
Bro,
like
it was. Or was it a video? It was a stupendous opening statement.
It
bro.
Was, but let's stop and think about this.
Who was reenacting
it? Bro, I didn't even realize it until you just restated it. This was an aggressive opening statement, people. Yeah. They literally said that he shoots her five. He shoots at her. This is their story. This is what they're going with.
Yeah.
That he shot at her five times, saying "dance, bitch." That she runs away from him. That Kelsey goes to save her. That he then approaches the two of them like he's not finished.
Yeah.
And then Kelsey tries to stop him, like, no, stop. And then he beats Kelsey's ass.
And then drags.
But wait,
yo, that's crazy.
Come on, bro.
But I didn't even realize that they were going that heavy with their story.
Yes. Like,
that's the dumbest.
And that's why I told you Tory is cooked at recess, and you said, nah, defense attorney, no.
Yeah, I didn't
great.
Even want to like put all that together. But wait, like, that's crazy.
Didn't Kelsey say that Megan was lying at some point, and yet they're trying to defend her as well?
Well,
I don't know, but I'll tell you the most interesting thing I heard about Kelsey and Meg's relationship. Yeah. They have not spoken in 2.5 years.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if that's true.
No, they haven't. She has a diss record dissing Megan Thee Stallion and speaks about the situation.
And apparently they're like college friends or high school friends, and she's been with her forever, and they haven't spoken in 2.5 years. And the idea that the prosecution is going with the story that he shot her five times, Kelsey went to console Meg, and then when Tory came up, Tory beat Kelsey's, and then they're not speaking for 2.5 years.
Because 2 years, because she got her ass beat from Tory Lanez.
And then that means though, right? And then they said though, like, so after that, then you know, right? So like they got stopped, blah blah, right? And then it like went to the hospital.
Well, then he said, he tried to, and then everybody gets back in the car. And they drive away,
right?
Like, what the fuck? They hug it back in the car,
right? And then Kelsey went to the hospital with Meg, and they're saying, hold up now, bro. If Kelsey shot Meg, why would she go to the hospital to be by her side? Now, Tory, first off, man.
Wait, before we go to Tory, one more point about the prosecutor. This is my favorite part. Because then the prosecutor was in the uncomfortable position of bringing up how scary the police are.
Yeah.
So this is the government. This is the Los Angeles County Prosecutor's Office arguing to the jury.
Yeah.
Of course Meg Thee Stallion didn't tell the police they had a gun. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to get shot by cops.
They're just going to show up and be like, oh, we're going to shoot you now. Like, boom, boom. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Make it make sense. Bro, the prosecutor arguing that it's reasonable for a civilian to be afraid of getting shot by police.
But wasn't that shortly after, like, George Floyd? Or was that before?
Yeah,
no, it was after.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, black people did kind
of. But
no.
But the thing with Megan said, she said in the beginning, she said, I wasn't scared about me. She said, I was scared that they were going to shoot Tory. She's like, I don't want another black man getting killed.
Right.
But the same black man shot at you five times, beat your best friend's ass, and that the cops coming, you want to protect him? Like, she said that. So, that is. Did they bring that up in the trial at all?
That's going to
come
up.
Yes, it did, right?
The defendant's going to bring that up.
Yeah, right?
To your point, black people were more scared, further scared, re-scared of being shot by cops. Mm-hmm. But here you had a prosecutor acknowledging the reality, right? Prosecutors normally go in court saying, oh, police are here to protect and serve. We can't keep making police the villain. Okay. But in this case,
they made them the villain.
Because they're just so gung-ho about getting this conviction, they were ready to say.
Well, they got to argue whatever case they need to get the job done, right?
Yeah, yo, and Tory kind of messed up, though, right?
Tory what?
and he like kind of messed up because he went to jail and then called Tory from a jail phone apologizing. Which why? Like why do you so why do you think that Tory Lanez went to jail, called Kelce and said, yo, listen, man, I apologize.
Let's do the Tory story first.
Okay, so now we're on the defendant.
Yeah, right?
All right, so we're done with prosecutor. Yeah. Okay,
defendant. Now this is Tory's lawyer where I right
go ahead.
Now.
Yeah, right. So, okay, so they actually brought up more details that the prosecutor skipped. Right? So they said
the ones that'll support their case.
Yeah, right. So they said that Meg, her stylist, and Kelce went to the party. Kelce got so drunk that she had to, like, pass out.
That Kylie Jenner kicked her out.
No, yes, right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, right. But, okay, so like, okay.
Slapped her in the face.
What? No,
the
right?
fuck out of here.
When the Kylie Jenner stuff came out, everybody in that courtroom is just like,
yeah, we're like, oh, shit.
No, right? No, because
Kylie! We're interested.
It painted Meg like a psycho, right? So, like, she invited Tory to come and chill, right? So she got jealous. Now getting drunk and irate, they'll say, yo, listen, it's time to go home, leave. She said, no, I'm not leaving until Tory comes with me. Eventually, they convinced her to, yo, take Tory's security guard and just go, right? She left with the security guard and was out here hounding the security guard to come back. Eventually, she came up with a lie and said, yo, listen, I left some of my belongings back there, taking back. So then she went back to the party because Tory was left there with Kylie, right? So, right.
I forgot about that. Yes. Right? Okay.
So this is the defense attorney making his opening statement to the jury where he's going to tell you what evidence is going to show. So the defense attorney for Tory Lanez is saying that over the course of the next couple days, we're going to prove to you at trial that they were at a party, that in the pool was Tory and Kylie, and that Megan Thee Stallion started feeling some type of way and got in her feelings about it. Mm-hmm. That they tried to get Megan to leave, but she's like, I'm not leaving until I get Tory with me.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm taking my man and I'm going. That's what the defense attorney is trying to set up and prove. And the defense attorney said this, and Kylie Jenner is expected to testify. The defense attorneys have said that we're going to call Kylie Jenner to testify.
Wow.
And the defense attorney said that this is what Kylie did. We'll see if she testifies and whether this is true. The defense attorney said that it got to a point where Megan Thee Stallion was making things so awkward that Kylie Jenner went up to her and said, it's time for you to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she left and Tory,
left with her,
being a gentleman, left with her, didn't stay in the pool with Kylie, and then they all leave, and then the mayhem ensues. But this little piece, I think, is very interesting to the masses. I think Kylie Jenner may testify, and we'll get some confirmation on it. Mm-hmm. And what was the other piece? Corey Gamble was there at the party?
Corey.
Kylie's stepdad.
He's expected to possibly testify also about
this. He was
this
there
situation.
At the party?
Yeah. He was there at the
was
party.
Was Travis Scott there?
No, I don't think so. Was not there.
Nah.
Mind you, Tory and Travis Scott had a beef.
Major beef.
Was macking on his girl.
Yo, but like from the stories that, like, let's say, like, academics told and, like, folks who was actually there, it looks like, yo, that Tory Mac game was so crazy that it was actually working. You feel me? Like,
Tory's Mac game looking strong.
Yeah, bro, it was working, right? So
His stroke game.
Man,
strong.
Right?
How many pumps?
And this was around the time that he had Quarantine Radio going crazy. Oh, like, Tory Lanez was the top of the world at this time.
That's a good point.
So Kylie Jenner wanting to rock with Tory Lanez at that time makes a lot of sense.
You're about to get sued, bro.
When Quarantine Radio was rocking, Tory was the hottest thing out. Period.
Absolutely.
Nothing could touch it. That shit was crazy. That was a vibe for a minute.
Right? No, and it's been proven that Kylie is like, okay, like, and she told Tyga, yo, why can't you be as big as Drake? Right? So she's known to be real tapped in with her man celebrity status, right?
She's a clout chaser, if you will.
Well, I don't think a Kardashian can be a clout chaser.
Yeah, now they are clout.
She is clout.
She needs someone to compliment.
You cannot tell me that she does not have a child with Travis Scott because he's like the coolest rapper out. That it's all part of their whole marketing. But continue on the case. Sorry.
Right. So
I sidetracked.
Yeah. Right. So
where was the defense at? The defense is basically saying that, yo, they're at this party. They leave because of the jealousy. And then the defense attorney, yo, this man, because
he's smooth.
But then, like, it just became like a gossip rag. It was crazy, bro. He was like, and then they start arguing. He tells you what the argument is about. And apparently he's like this. He's like, look, Kelsey is backing up Meg to Tori. Say, when Meg is saying, yo, don't be doing this. Why are you making me look bad? Why are you trying to be, you know, hooking up with Kylie? Yeah. All right. So then Tori looks at Kelsey and says, hang on. Why would you back up Meg coming at me for two-timing with Kylie when I was originally hooking up with you? Meg went behind your back and hooked up with me.
Cold nigga, man.
And what about the name drops?
And then the defense attorney goes, and this isn't the first time Kelsey two-time Meg is out.
Break it down, baby.
We need the gossip.
And then he says that the evidence, I don't know if they're going to prove this or what, but he put the allegation out there. This is just the defense attorney talking, but he's like, she did it with the baby.
The baby co-signed that.
She did it with Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons de-co-signed that.
And you just saw all these reporters, their Twitter fingers were like frozen, but they're just like, oh my God, I gotta tweet this shit.
I know.
That's because you're not allowed.
Bro, I was so mad, man, because like I plan on doing like, was it like you, right? Like who like did like the live tweets like during like 6ix9ine trial?
No, that was, that's a person called, what are they called?
Don't you have to like write it down in there and then tweet it later?
During the 6ix9ine trial, they were doing some shit.
They probably had it in their pants or something.
Yo, bro, they were doing some Morse code on their phone inside of their thigh. I don't know who that was. I know the Twitter account. Yeah. I'm forgetting the name right now. But I was looking around. I was like, yo, who's breaking this shit in here? I could have figured
somebody
out.
Somebody could probably have their phone on and someone's listening and typing it for them.
They're probably wearing that's what I would, they're probably that's in the vent or some shit.
Possibly. Yeah.
That's why I'll take turn your it phones. On and then someone's hearing it and type it.
Oh, really? They take it?
Yeah. If you what?
Damn.
They take your phones in federal court.
Oh, so when you guys walked in, they took your phone?
No. Not here. This was state court. Okay, state court. But in the 6ix9ine. But yeah, anyway, that's what they were doing in 6ix9ine.
Where
are we? I'm
so lost. Back to the story. Yeah. So, all right. So then he starts dropping all these bombs. Like, yo, the fight. The
two timing thing.
Yeah, yeah. The argument was about this whole other thing. And to me, that was a very important win for the defense. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to make a presentation of evidence to the jury and you have a major weakness, which is that the argument might involve somebody else.
Yeah.
You got to address that. Absolutely. You don't want to let the defense attorney to be the one who throws that out there. And so the defense attorney threw that out there and it made sense, right? It made a lot of sense. Here's Meg. If she's begging Tori to come with her, she's obviously feeling Tori. And then how could things melt down? So I thought that was a useful part. The rest of the story continues and the defense attorney basically puts it on Kelsey. And he says, look, the evidence is going to show that Kelsey was the shooter, that that Tori tried to grab the gun away from her to stop that. The evidence is going to show that there's an eyewitness, that that eyewitness is going to tell you that in the front passenger seat where the gun was found at the time of the shooting, Tori was found in the front passenger seat when they were pulled over.
Yes.
At the time of a shooting, there was an eyewitness. So you guys might think L.A., mansions, big houses. These are small suburban homes, okay? And the house where this eyewitness is just feet away from the blood stain where Meg Thee Stallion definitely puts it. They haven't confirmed that it's tested her blood, but that's probably her blood on his driveway. And from his window, I mean, he's right there.
Yes, this is like in the hills, right? You talking about?
I think so, right? Like,
they have like no yards, but they're on like the cliff with like a pool in the backyard. But it's really close.
Yeah. And the houses are. It's not like the
street. They're like right next.
You could
to each
see
other.
The driveway. You could walk into the driveway. It's not like some crazy. So then the prosecutor didn't tell you about this eyewitness. This eyewitness is going to tell you that he saw coming out of the front seat another woman, and he saw that woman in the front seat, another woman in the back seat in a fist fight.
Now, if Kelsey is blamed, is she going to testify, one?
Tomorrow.
She's testifying.
Okay,
tomorrow.
God.
Meg's two, gone first, and then Kelsey's testifying.
Two, if she's proven to be guilty, is she going to be tried after? Or what's the deal with that?
I don't think so.
But if she's proven guilty, then Tori's
clean. You can't prove her guilty, though,
you're
right?
Not gonna, the only question up for trial for the jury is there proof beyond a reasonable doubt that Daystar Peterson pulled this trigger.
And they also found gun residue on both of them.
Right. Yes. So that was a huge thing.
And Tori Lanez.
Yeah.
So my question
DNA,
is,
though, right? Right? So, like, that's the thing, right? So it was non-conclusive, meaning, like, they can't exclude Tory Lanez, nor can they really like confirm that his DNA was on it, right?
Well, there's two things. There's gunshot residue, there's DNA.
Yeah.
The gunshot residue is if I shoot a firearm, the gunpowder releases a cloud, and everybody who's within a certain proximity of that cloud is going to get gunpowder on them. Yeah. And so a couple hours after a shooting, you can test people's physical bodies and find out whether they were near a recent gunshot.
But that just opens up the potentiality of Kelsey, right?
In this case, the gunshot residue analysis was done on 3 out of 4 people. It wasn't done on Meg. But on the 3 people it was done, the driver, Tori, and Kelsey, all 3 of them tested positive for gunshot residue, which suggests that they had all recently fired a gun, or one of them had recently fired a gun, or somebody had recently fired a gun and they were around it. The gunshot residue is completely inconclusive. It's not going to settle this case. Mm-hmm. The DNA is useful to this effect.
Who's DNA?
Gunshot residue is
DNA on the gun.
Powder when the gun goes off. DNA is your physical stuff. When you touch stuff, you'll leave it on it.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, when you touch a gun, the chances of you leaving DNA that can then be recovered are extremely low. So, you know, some studies will put it at somewhere between 10 and 20%.
That's why people wear gloves.
This just means that the fact that your DNA is not on a gun is not actually that significant evidence that you didn't hold that gun, because the reality is there's only a 10 to 20% chance that your DNA would be found on the gun had you in fact touched it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody with me? The fact that now his DNA is not on the gun, so that's a powerful piece of evidence. The other part of
Tori's
DNA is not on the gun, nor is it on the bullets or the magazine. So the idea that this is his gun is not likely, because if you touch a gun, there's only a 10, 20% chance. But if it's your gun and you're loading
all the time,
there's so many places that we're testing. And so that 10% figure, 10, 20% figure, well, it's like, but I touched the gun. I touched each of these bullets. I touched this magazine. I touched the hammer. I touched the slide. So that the fact that his DNA is on it, and they're also trying that.
What about Kelsey's DNA? Did they test that?
No.
We don't know. I don't.
No.
They should do that.
They ain't tested, no.
Oh, right. And the defense attorney made a good point of that. He's like, and you didn't test the DNA on her, did you?
And that's smart, because there's a high chance that it's, you know, not hers, but the fact that they didn't test it makes it seem like it could be hers. You know what
right.
I mean?
Now, right, here's where I think, like, Tory Lanez might have gotten, like, caught up at, right? Is, now, how credible, like, do you think, right? Because Megan's security guard, Justin Addison, and he claims that Megan left some of her stuff at Tory's house, so he went to the house to retrieve her stuff, and while at the house, Tory Lanez confessed to him. Now, he's claiming, like, Tory Lanez told him, man, bro, listen, man, I was just drunk as fuck. Now, how credible do you think that's going to be when he testified?
What exactly did he say, though?
That when he went to go like, pick up Megan's, like, clothes from, like, Tory's house, and he confessed to him and told him.
Confessed what, though?
He did it, but like
he shot.
Well, they phrased
it
as. Or
that they got in an argument, because that, like, just saying sorry about an argument is fun.
Well, hey, right. So, like, they phrased it as, yo, he did it, right? Right? Bro, I was drunk as fuck. I didn't mean to do that thing, right? So, but the prosecutor is phrasing that as, yo, he's confessing to this. And the defense is saying, listen, that could mean many things, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
They also did say that it meant that he was apologizing for sleeping with Megan Thee Stallion and Kelsey.
That's not his fault, though. That's the girl's fault.
But they said he was apologizing for that, not shooting her. It was like, yo, my fault for sleeping with your best friend. I didn't mean to do that to you.
That jailhouse call is going to be the biggest piece of evidence.
Yes.
Because I think there's a jailhouse call. And those of you who don't know, when you get arrested, they give you a phone call. That phone call will be listened to. It will be recorded. It will be used against you. In this case, Tory makes a call. What he says on that call is open for interpretation. The police don't really have a working theory so in court, you can't present evidence on its own. You can't just be like, oh, hey, everybody, here's a video. You have to have an individual come in and testify what that video is. Where did he get it? What is this video from? Mm-hmm. How do we know it's real? How do we know it's not a deep fake? Da, da, da.
Like a specialist of some sort.
So in this case, they got a police officer to come in and say that, hey, I've retrieved from the Los Angeles County database this hard drive that has on it stored this audio from this phone call that this prisoner made when they gave him his one call. And he called Kelsey. And they asked the officer, do you know what he's apologizing for on this call? The officer's like, nah, I just heard this thing a week ago. I'm just here to introduce it. It's like, all right, well thanks.
Wait, so they can record your jail phone calls? You
know, anything in jail.
What the hell?
Everything's recorded.
Bro, they'll record your cell.
Yeah, come on.
Bro, I knew that. Right. Like, I'm just saying, like, come on. Where is the privacy?
There's no privacy. You lose your privacy when it comes to jail.
This is China.
I just want to know for the record, he's the only one who's surprised about that.
Yeah, what
the, like, yo, I've never been in jail like that. What are you?
Raise your hand if you've been to jail.
Privilege. You can tell he got some privilege. Hey,
just go on.
Where were we? Yeah, right.
So the jailhouse calls. So he admits it.
That's it.
They're like, oh, he admits it. He just said that he did it. But then they ask the cop. They're like, what's he admitting to? The cop's like, I don't know.
Yo, he was so, bro, he was so pointless, right? Because he just came and said,
don't they like rehearse these things before?
No, apparently not, man, because that dude was like,
maybe in civil cases.
I think all three of these cops, had they testified after Meg and Kelsey, I think it would make a lot more sense. But the defense attorney's story is different. The defense attorney is, look, he's calling who? He's calling Kelsey. He apologized how many times? 3 times. What's he apologizing for? He's apologizing for basically calling her out in front of her friend and revealing all of this stuff, and that typically he wouldn't move like that. He would not, you know, if he wasn't so drunk, start spreading all this business, messing with Kylie, coming in the car, getting messy with them and saying, ah, whatever, I had sex with both of you two and I'll fuck Kylie too. He was just drunk. That's why he was doing that. That's why he was apologizing. That's the defense attorney's theory.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, if you listen to that recording and then you listen to the prosecutor say it and you listen to the defense attorney say it, you don't know what the hell the truth is. That recording doesn't say shit on its own.
Yeah,
and so it, in my opinion, just that, I'm going not guilty, right? Beyond a reasonable doubt. That's not bad. But the rest of the evidence is going to frame the story.
It's crazy, yeah, man.
And I think what's going to happen is all these jurors are going to hear all this evidence, and then they're going to go to that phone call. And they're going to say, all right, having heard everything, what's he apologizing for?
But it has to be beyond a reasonable doubt.
It does.
Which is actually pretty hard to do given the evidence we have.
Man, listen, and it's really harder if there's lesser evidence. And so if you don't talk on a jailhouse phone, there's going to be lesser evidence.
So he shouldn't have done that is what you're saying.
You should never
talk. In general, just become a mime.
Yeah, never ever talk.
It's like these three, like Kelsey, Megan, and Tori, it's like when this situation happened, they didn't know anything or how to keep themselves good. Like Tori calling Megan, Megan speaking about, oh, my back was turned on Twitter. Her having that interview saying that she didn't have sex with him. It's like a bunch of little kids that are not listening to their fucking lawyers. And it's like, we're seeing a shit show. And
she's honestly, so dumb for that though, right? Because, bro, I can almost guarantee you, man, if Megan would just stay, like, if she would just stay quiet and there was no contradictions to pull up. And, bro, Tori would have been in a shit bag right now, right? Because they can just pull up just mad different things, right? Now, hey, right, so, like, speak on this, too, right? Because, like, I was kind of, like, confused as to why, like, the defense was, like, honing in on this, right? So, and they spoke on, like, the property and, like, what's in the LV bag and, like, what's in the suitcase. Why was he so adamant in terms of who, like, clothes that was?
Well, I think what he was really going at is he knew that the guys couldn't answer the questions.
Oh, okay.
Because he knew that on their property report, they didn't actually log everything the way they could have. It wasn't a beautiful, buttoned-up investigation report.
Yeah.
And so he was asking questions to show that, look, they don't have all the answers, people.
Yeah.
If you want beyond a reasonable doubt, you want an airtight story, this guy can't even tell you what was in this bag.
Mm-hmm. So he's trying to, like, limit their credibility.
Exactly. And he's trying to show you that it wasn't a complete investigation, that they found a black man, they found a woman, and they said, all right, the black guy probably shot her.
Yo.
And then they just stopped doing other investigation. There was a there was a picture where Kelsey has, you know, they have a picture of Kelsey. It was like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Yeah.
It's like they just put everybody in.
She looked bad. I ain't gonna lie, that picture Kelsey? They showed in court, come on, yo.
Kelsey?
I was looking at that like, yo, this is who Kelsey was? Yo, Tori smashing this?
She's a very attractive woman.
So that material?
Yeah.
So they start putting all these pictures up of them in their bathing suits. Tori's got his, like, swim trunks. It's like the swimsuits.
The craziest.
Yo, and then the defense attorney came back and he's like, yeah, I have the shot from the back view.
No, I'm like, yo, let's do it, right? Yeah, let's do it. No, right? No, right? But that proved, though, right? Because they show, like, so And her tank top was ripped.
Yep.
And then she was like bleeding towards the bottom, right?
They showed the strap on her bikini was
Megan's
ripped.
Megan's was.
On Kelsey's. Yeah, and they showed blood on her ankle, and they go to the cop and they say, hey, in the course of your investigation while you're photographing this woman, did you ask her what happened with her clothes there and that they're ripped? They're like, nope. Like, oh, did you ask her about the blood on her foot? Like, nope.
Nah, this case is...
I tell you, I'm cops. But none of that had to be on today. None of that had to be what you lead with. Mm-hmm. You could have put Meg on.
Didn't want to. That's why. Tomorrow, I feel like we're going to understand more why the cops were even put on this case. Because if the cops had a fucking shit show like that on the trial, I can only imagine what Megan and Kelsey, they might start arguing, with different stories on front of the trial. So if the cops went first, I think it's going to be 10 times worse tomorrow.
All right. So now that we have all of this on the table, I think we do a percentage on like chances that Tory or Megan wins. I'm saying 70% Tory. A go.
Honestly, yo, I can't say. I gotta see what
For Flacco, I know you know.
I'll go seven. I'll go with you. I'll go seven.
No, hair.
Okay.
No, hair, right? So.
Nah, just give a number.
Wait.
It had to be done today.
No, right? Hair, right? So, look. So, I came into the case. Case saying, yo.
CSI Miami.
Lawyer Flacco.
Yo,
Law and Order.
Megan is a liar. Tory is innocent.
He also came in real hungry.
Yes, right? And you know, like at recess, I'm like, yo, bro, like Tory cooked right out of here, right? And then like towards the end, the defense attorney like damn near saved the case, right? So my whole, I guess, like view of this case is I do think that Tory Lanez shot Meg. I think that's the case.
No, we're talking about that.
Right? But,
I do too.
Right?
For the record.
I think that Tory shot her, but I just think that the cops dropped the ball in every way when dealing with the evidence. Meg contradicted herself on in every way, lied too much, right? So I just think that Tory Lanez is about to beat this case based on a technicality, right? And, you know, it sucks because after hearing the, like, 911 call, man, where she said that, yo, like, there's a woman crying in agony. So, like, it shows that Meg.
She's also hammered, and it could have been, like, I've seen girls cry over, like, breaking a nail. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
After hearing five shots go off, and then hearing a woman cry in agony, I would assume that, like, that correlates to that five shots going off.
If you shot five bullets in the air next to a girl, she's going to be crying. I'm talking about in the air.
Yes.
She's going to be scared.
Yes. Out of her mind. Yes. But when you, like, pull out, like, three huge fragments from out her foot, you know, like, that's kind of like...
Okay, look. Yeah, you know, I think you did
true.
It.
Why wouldn't the only thing I can't get, and, like, the thing that confuses me with you two, is that you guys believe that Tory did shoot her.
100%.
So my thing is, like, there's nobody in their fucking right mind that gets shot, and the police show up right away, is going to sit here and defend the person that shot them. What I think happened is they went to the party. Tory Lanez was friend with Kylie. They went to the car. They left. Tory Lanez told Kelsey, yo, your girl's been dogging you out. She even slept with me. Once he told Kelsey that, Kelsey wanted to fuck up Megan. They both started fighting. Probably Kelsey got her ass whooped, was so drunk. Let me go get the gun. She goes, gets the gun. Tory is fighting Kelsey with the gun. The gun goes off. The bullets hits the fragments hit the floor and it hits Megan. To me, that's exactly what happened.
Why would she
want to
blame Tory?
You said, wait, hold up.
Why would she want to
blame
Tory?
And her career at the time.
If you're out there.
This is Megan Thee Stallion. This is Megan Thee Stallion.
You got room on the team. No. This man.
Why would she want to blame Tory over Kelsey? Why would she want to blame Tory over Kelsey? If she hasn't talked to Kelsey in 2.5 years, she might as well just blame her.
Her career. This is not Megan Thee Stallion now. This is Megan Thee Stallion, up and coming artist at this time, before she won the Grammys, before all of the success went even crazier. And her mindset is like, yo, if people find out that my friend shot me because I slept with the fourth dude she's been with, for Megan Thee Stallion at that time, even the way Megan, she cares what people think, she's not going to let that fly. Like, I feel like that's what's killing her. I can't let people know exactly what I'm doing. And my friend, that's supposed to be my best friend, shot me because I'm a hoe.
Yo, literally. Are you from Los Angeles County?
No, I'm from the East Coast, Rhode Island.
Yeah, that's a very good breakdown.
Yeah,
I can't help but think that your perspective and your ability to see it that way, right? Mm-hmm. Two people could look at the same evidence, hear the same story, and they'll have a different view of how it went down. I've never thought about it the way you have. I've never thought about it the way mm-hmm. you have, and I never will. We all think about it differently. Mm-hmm. But I do think that was a very interesting and plausible scenario, and I think that part of that might be born out of the fact that you're a black male and younger. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that I take this opportunity while I'm here on this platform to point out that Los Angeles County is about 30 to 40% black. Mm-hmm. Okay? On that jury, there was how many black people?
We're getting technical.
I counted three and then one iffy.
I think it was three.
How many people were in the jury again?
We can't tell. We don't know it from looking 16, at a person who's African American, but you heard Flacco's opinion. Yeah. I think there was three. Flacco thinks it was three and a possible. Out of a potential 16, mm-hmm. if 30 to 40% of Los Angeles County is African American, then there should have been at least four or five black people.
Yeah, of course.
At least.
Yeah.
At least. And black the three was males, older. There was only one black male.
And he was like 60-something.
And he was like 60-something. And if you're a young black male watching this podcast and you ever get a jury duty summons and you feel like the criminal justice system is stacked against you, do not ignore that jury duty summons. And if you do, do not ever feel like the criminal justice system is stacked against you, because you are not participating in the system.
Yeah, man. Yo, because when
we got some facts.
Yeah. Nah, like when I seen that jury, right? Because the first thing I said was, damn, bro, it's like 12 women here.
There's a lot of women on that jury.
Yeah, 12 women.
Men generally.
That's unfair.
He lost.
Right? And then it was two older black women and who was there as well, right? So, like, automatically, they'll probably lean more towards themselves, which is Megan Thee Stallion, right? So, like, the only person who could, like, relatively even be in a ballpark of, like, in favor of Tory Lanez is the older black guy, but he's, like, 60-plus years old.
Nah, but, Flacco, I'm talking about favor or not favor or whose side you're on. Fuck all that.
Yeah.
There was a noticeable absence of young black men on that jury.
Not facts.
And I think that's a direct result of the fact that, and this isn't just something unique to African American. I think it's probably a young male problem.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we just ignore. I've ignored jury duty, bro. I'm just saying, as somebody who has lived it, and now been in it, it's important that we highlight that.
Yeah.
What else happened? Do you remember that 911 call?
Yes, yo.
She was the best.
Tori was laughing too. I'm like, Tori, what? Tori, why the fuck are you laughing right now, dog?
Tori was laughing.
The whole,
I'm like, what the fuck?
So court is very serious, and this judge is really serious. And I actually think this is more L.A. because I feel like in L.A., West Coast, y'all appreciate the show that, hey, cameras are taping right now. Yeah. Studio audience will be silent. Everybody respects that shit. It's like, yo, the show is on. Everybody respects it. We got to. But when the 911 call got played, so there was a woman, they played the 911 call, and she's like, yeah, hey, I heard some gunshots, and listen, I know gunshots. There's been a lot of fireworks. I know you guys have probably been getting calls about the fireworks. So this was definite gunshots. You send your officers here, y'all are going to get gunshots. And she's like, all right, cool. What's your name? She's like, no, don't give my name.
Don't send them to my house.
she's like, all right, well, where were the gunshots? She was like, oh, it's a little north of me. And they're like, oh, what's your address? She's like, nah. Over here.
So she was trying not to be a snitch.
It was like, I'm not really a comedian, but it was her tone. It was so funny, bro. The whole crowd is just cracking up. Tori's laughing. The judges.
An older white woman, right? Or was she like Hispanic?
She was definitely an older white woman. And she also said something like she was kind of like chill, maybe smoking on some tree, but I don't remember what it was. She said something. She was like,
she was high.
She was definitely high because she was like, I don't remember what she said, but she said something that make you think, yeah, she's definitely smoking some gas.
Right. Speak on but the blood trail. So, like, they were saying, one, like, bro, these cops is fucking, like, they're fucking idiots, right? So, like, they just, like, they didn't even, like, take pictures of the actual blood spots.
Yeah.
Bro, how do you have a trail of blood in a quote-unquote shooting and y'all forgot to take pictures of the actual blood trail and mark it in as evidence? That's just dumb, right? But why was the defense arguing that? Like, was they saying that the way that she, like, gets, like, moved around the car wouldn't have been possible? Or, like, what?
The defense's whole point is that they did not properly document the crime scene, and so they can't even tell you what these blood trails mean. They can't tell you whose blood it is. They can't tell you what it shows in terms of her movement. Yeah. They can't tell you if it's multiple people's blood. It's just none of that.
Man, now, okay, right, so look, so for day two now, Megan and Kelsey is testifying. What do you expect to come out of that?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be fireworks, that's for sure.
Kelsey's going to say she didn't do it.
It's all about cross-examination.
Yo, right?
Kelsey's going to be like, which is why, like,
yo, listen, yo, so like, I don't understand, like, why they took that approach, right? Because on a novel, I'm sorry, no, and on a jailhouse call, Kelsey was really, like, cool with Tori, you know, right? Like,
he kept calling her bro.
Yeah, right?
How many times did he call her bro?
A lot, yo. It was a lot. It was a lot. But, like, he said, yo, listen, can you call my security guard? And then she said, yo, listen, like, we got to get you out of here quick before it gets hot. So she was actually, like, pro helping him out, helping him, you know, escape this.
So here's so why what would I'm gathering. Her? I think that if I was Tori, she's going to take the blame because, as you said in this court case, she can't necessarily be proven guilty of sorts. So she can take the whole case and then Tori can, you know, pay her underneath the table.
My whole thing is, it was told that Megan said that Kelsey was paid by Tori to keep it under the hush. And Kelsey came out and said that is not true. So to me, I think the issue for tomorrow's case is going to be Kelsey and Megan are not going to be on the same page because regardless if they want to be on that, Megan told everyone that Kelsey already took money from Tori. So to me, it's like the prosecutor is going to have a tough time having two people that are not on the same page at all.
But they have to, though, right? So
look, they have to, but are they?
Yes, right.
Logically, it would be smart, but I don't.
No, I think they will do, right? And here's why, because, again, I don't know why Tory team will, like, put her in a corner to where she has to, like, right? Like, she now has to turn on Tory because...
I don't think there's teams like that, y'all.
Oh, no?
This is just people. Mm-hmm. It's just people. You know, when you see Hollywood and you see artists and celebrity, you think that there's, like, somebody pulling all the strings, a puppet. Mm-hmm. It's just people.
Yeah, everyone's self-centered.
Everyone's just looking. I think Kelsey and Tori had a falling out. I think they haven't spoken for 2.5 years. Okay. I don't think they have any clue what each other are going to say.
Mm.
All right? I doubt Tori paid off Kelsey.
I was saying that as a hypothetical, like, conspiracy. That's what I want in my head.
What kind of money does he have to pay her off? That's what I don't
think. He's got bread. What are you talking about?
I'm like, yo, I don't think $1 million is going to keep her.
Shit.
100K.
She's around.
Less.
No, I don't think so.
Are you kidding me?
She's in the industry.
What does she do?
She's sleeping with Ben Simmons and the baby.
What does she do? What does Kelsey do?
Wait, did everybody see the Ben Simmons story?
Yeah. No, allegations.
Give me some details.
NBA players,
I get that, but she could be flying to fuck every single NBA player. I don't care. That doesn't mean she has money.
She's Megan Thee Stallion's assistant.
You see all these IG models literally sleeping on a couch?
They're getting money, though. They might not be able. They might not be able to save their money. They may not.
They
be
get
able
paid
to invest,
for,
but they're getting money. They're definitely getting.
Her IG though has no following though. Like she's at like 185,000. You know, bro. Like she has no following. All
right, what happened with Ben Simmons?
I feel
though.
Mad shitty about her follower count right now.
What?
Go follow me on Instagram, Albert.
Yo, me too, man. Like they clipped my shit.
183,000. That's not bad, bro.
Yeah, that's
bro.
Not bad at all.
No. Like to have like an actual income on this, meaning like, right? Like you have to pay your bills, but she's married now, so you know.
Nah, that doesn't make
sense.
Wait,
in the 2 years she got married?
Yeah, kid and all.
Nah.
So she's not even sweating this.
Why? She got a kid, she's like, married now. Yo, can you imagine being like her husband now?
I think he found out all this about her after he saw her picture in court today. When did you get all this information?
She's like, oh.
No. No, right? So I knew that she had a kid, like when the Shade Room posted it, like trying to be shady, right? So I knew she been had a kid, and then she was engaged, you know, like, I been knew this. But like, can you imagine being... No. Megan's boyfriend or her husband right now, and knowing that like your quote unquote queens was being passed around the industry, like
you mean Kelsey,
like use me, both of them, right? Cause
I don't think they said she's being passed around the industry. She said she hooked up with a couple dudes, two guys,
a couple,
three.
Yeah, I don't even want to hear
Lanez,
about
the
one.
Baby Beth Simmons. Who else?
That's it.
Come on, man.
That's all we know.
It gotta be a lot though.
There's way more than that.
Yeah, that's
like
got
we
to
might
be.
Hear more. I feel like the prosecutors are probably gonna have more and more, or the defense attorneys gonna have way more people to expose to her sleeping with.
I think so. Right?
I don't think that's necessary, to be honest.
it's completely
Your Honor, Exhibit
243. It's completely necessary because it tells about her character. She's lying about certain stuff she's doing.
Write down every man you've slept with in your life.
That, oh my God! I'm never gonna get another female client to hire me.
You got
how many of them have shared?
You got two girls that slept. Literally, the baby. We both slept with him. Tory Lanez. We both slept with him. Ben Simmons. We both slept with him. It's like, what the fuck do they have?
They're Eskimo sisters.
Yeah, like Eskimo sisters that don't.
But like, I'm shocked that Megan Thee Stallion is getting around like that because she don't. Like, she's a Kelsey has to fuck around to eat. Megan Thee Stallion,
she is the breadwinner. You know?
She's like, Megan Thee Stallion. Like, she's like a lit rapper up and coming. Why would she be out here throwing a pussy like that, bro? Especially as a fellow
hot
rapper.
Girl Summer. She wasn't lying. She was really on that hot girl summer.
Opposite, because she got attached to Tori, and that's why this whole situation is happening. She would not give a fuck about Tori smashing Kelsey.
It's hot girl summer. She's just a selfish hot girl summer because the day before that, she slept with the baby. Said that the day before that happened, that she slept with him.
Oh yeah, that's nuts.
So how?
Okay.
You get me? So it's like that's what I'm saying.
They didn't want to mix their juices. What you're saying.
And to me, do you guys think the baby put out that information closer to the trial to help Tory Lanez's case?
Nah, bro.
Because that makes sense. Why the baby and Tory Lanez even were still cool, and why he even chilled with him? Because he knew at the same time I'm sleeping with Megan too. Yeah. And they probably had a conversation going on like, yo, she's.
So that's why he dropped that song, to back up Tory.
To me, I ain't gonna lie, the timing is because the prosecution came out and said, oh yeah, she slept with DaBaby. DaBaby co-signs that. So, and then the only difference is we didn't know that DaBaby also slept with Kelsey at the same time. So that makes the Tory situation seem more real because it happened with another rapper who also co-signed that he slept with her. And they both never came out and said that she slept with him. So that's why I'm like, yo, it's too much coincidence. It's like, it's you.
Now, this might be a minute detail, but question for the court. In L.A., can you use lyrics as evidence? Like in New York, I know they outlawed that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they can prove that, so they can.
I haven't seen the latest New York law. A lot of times, you see the headline that something's been passed, but it's,
Meek Mill and them,
it's just been passed. It's not actually signed into law.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay.
I don't think there's any lyrics that they want to use in this case.
Nah,
but I'm saying like the baby thing. Unless he just came out and said it.
Well, like I feel like her fucking the baby, like that, like that really doesn't do nothing, right? But just prove that yo, that like Megan and Kelsey were at odds. Right, but even like
that's right. The whole idea of Megan's other relationships, the only point that it speaks to is that the argument in the car was over the sort of cheating that's happening amongst Kelsey and Meg over the same man repeatedly over and over again.
Right. Do you like think though that like that prosecutor's age will play a factor? Because he looks like he's like a late 20s, right? Like early 30s.
I mean, look, I think he's a good prosecutor, but I don't think he's as good as the defense attorney. And I think you saw that play out where if you grade this trial on day one, how did day one go?
Yeah. Tory lawyers.
I don't think the prosecutors had as perfect a strategy as the other side. And it's easier for the other side. The other side just has to react. Mm-hmm. As a prosecutor, it's your job to put on the case. And listen, I love that guy. I thought he did a great job. But
who?
The prosecutor. He's solid, but
he did good in the first half, though, right?
He's not a 30-year veteran. Yeah. He's just like, you know, eats and breathes the stuff.
You're on offense. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so there's a lot been going on in the rap industry, and the fact that we got you here, Mo, today is special because my boy, the person I think is probably the hottest rapper that's locked up right now, dropped a new project. We're talking about New York's own drill rapper, K-Flock. He just dropped his new album. And you being here, what, for me being a New Yorker, what is the chances of my boy K-Flock getting out?
In March, he said, right? Or May 2023?
He said he's coming out March 23rd. But are you familiar with the K-Flock case at all? Or?
I am. I'm familiar with the lawyer. The lawyer is just top class. He's, you know... People call, he's El Chapo's lawyer. I mean, that doesn't really mean much, but it does speak to, his performance in that case, I don't think means much because there was nothing he could do for El Chapo. But the fact
but
that
the
El
money,
Chapo, but
his price tag.
It speaks to the quality of the attorney.
Right. Yeah.
And what he and I all I can speak on the K Flock case is what I heard him say. And he put his name on it, and I think that goes a long way. And he said that if you look at that video, and we have our own videos and we have our own evidence, and we think that at the end of the day, when you look at all that evidence, you will see that this is not guilty. He doesn't say that the guy didn't do the shooting. He doesn't say any of that shit. Yeah. He just says that, yeah, we've all seen that video, and there are other videos, and there is other evidence that will go on, and you will see at the end of the day that this man did not commit a crime. Other than that, there's no information out on that case. People can say whatever they want to say. That's a state court case. No motions have been filed. Obviously, no trial has happened. The prosecution is not going to say anything. But the defense lawyer did go out. He's a great defense lawyer, and he said that he has evidence that he's going to put on that's going to show you that what you see on that video is not the whole story. We'll see. I wish I could give you more, bro. I got nothing.
Yeah, right. So, and he it also came out and said that the prosecutors are not telling him who their witnesses are because they fear if they tell him that he would tell K Flock, blah, blah, right? And like he's, okay, so like, and he's saying, well, sorry, so like, and he alluded to self-defense, but when the reporter like, you know, like try to like press him or put him down, he said, listen, I don't know, but
it seemed like he was going to self-defense.
Yeah, right. But the person who was walking towards K Flock and had a gun in a pocket, their hand was in a pocket while walking forward. Listen, I'm a scary nigga. Y'all know me. I'm scared. Mo, I'm the least frightening. I'm a pussy nigga. Scary, right? So if I'm with two younger females, an op who I just spotted in the barbershop, I did dip to him, right? Again, I'm waving him off like, man, bro, listen up, man. Like, I'm not on that right now, bro. And I'm walking by my way, and he comes out of the barbershop, begins to hawk me down while I'm with my two-year-old. Come on, listen up, bro. I'm just waiting until that nigga get about what? About 20 feet out. That's it. 20 feet out, I'm bussing, right?
Are you bringing the girls though, or are you just gonna leave them hanging? Because you're not gonna smash one more time.
They were young. Really? No. They're 12 or 13 years old.
They were sure young. Leave them because you don't want to be involved in that,
right? Like they were young, right? So
no. You actually want to help them because they are like your younger sisters,
right? But though, And then, like, also, too, is, like, NY police has not dropped other footage, if it does exist, of the other angle, right? Which, there's no footage right now of K-Flock actually firing a weapon, right? So we don't know if there's another footage that exists, right? So
can they get him for possessing a firearm, though?
Well, yeah.
I don't think there's a possession charge on him, nah. No? I don't think he's got a prior felony, but there might be. You said hottest drill rapper in New York. There's a couple of rappers in New York that might have a little something to say about that. Shout out my guy Sleepy Hollow. He got
shout out to Sleepy Hollow. Chef G's in jail.
Book right now. Right? Sleepy Hollow is still book right now, right?
He's out for another year.
Wait, Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, bro.
Sleepy Hollow's locked up.
Yeah,
he's locked up. Yeah.
So for how long?
He went away. I think he's doing a year.
Wait, yes. Chef G or Sleepy
both
Hollow?
Both of them are locked up. Both in the same unit.
Yeah, but both locked up right now.
I did not know.
Is it like? Is it a RICO?
No, man. So, I think Sleepy like was at like a freaking restaurant, right? Like wilding out, you feel me? Right. And then, like shortly after that, I think he did something else. But yeah, bro, like he been locked up.
So he went to a restaurant and then did something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Slide on that.
No, he was wilding out, like throwing chairs and shit. He was wild out on camera, right? But
we're gonna come back with the full Sleepy story.
Yeah, right. No, but though in terms of drill rapper, though, right? Now listen, have you tapped in yet to Shy EK?
Who?
Shy EK.
The face of the Bronx. Yeah, absolutely.
The face of the Bronx. Shy EK, you ain't no jiggy man. We back.
Nah. Here, right. So look. I've always said that UG's to me is the face of the Bronx.
Come on,
man. It's African bias, bro. Like, come on, bro.
I think Shady K is African, though.
Hell no, nah, you know.
Nah, he's not like he's the Americanized African. Like,
where?
He's from some country.
Shady K not no African, bro. Hell no, nah, Shady K.
Shady K is African. UG's is more like UG's is definitely like probably off the boat African though. So I get you on that, but to me. New York right now, if it wasn't for all these rappers going to jail in the drill scene, we got D-Thang locked up, we got K-Flock locked up, we got Chef G's locked up, I feel like New York would be the staple of music right now. Like, it wouldn't be Atlanta. Mm-hmm. The new wave that New York has with the Shoddy K's, the K-Flocks, even the Fabio Forns, I feel like, but all our artists are getting locked up due to the legal system, and I feel like New York is against our scene.
Hell no.
It is, because we would be the New York and D-Thang without
New York loves hip hop.
Hang on, he's on to something here. In New York, the police are very good, right? So if you're
they're good at their job, bro.
They're good. If you're in a street gang in uptown Harlem, you're dealing
they know your with name.
The NYPD that has a budget like, bruh.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Fed money, and they got surveillance, and if they want you, they're gonna get you, and it's over. Especially the way kids operate,
they're dumb.
Shit, hey, they're on camera doing the shit.
Don't you think that them going to jail though adds hype to the whole Bronx drill scene? I think so because it adds like a credibility to it, like they're actually doing what they rap. Whereas a lot of these other scenes, it's not as cool because it's like they're just cap rap.
I feel like I get what you're saying, but for K, like the only reason why I don't agree because K Flock's
like Pooh Shiesty. Everybody loves Pooh Shiesty because he shot somebody off, in the ass. Mm-hmm.
Pooh Shiesty would be way hotter if he didn't go to jail. That's true.
Bobby Shmurda too. Like,
Pooh was just kind of hot, man. He had a voice. Pooh Shiesty.
Yeah.
But he and you don't think he lost it from going to jail? He don't got that buzz.
But that's just because he hasn't dropped. But I feel like when he does drop again, I feel like it might. It might, but you're right. I feel you.
But that's why I feel like sometimes when you go to jail, sometimes you're stuck in that time era. So meaning,
like Pooh Bobby Shmurda is literally going
still
on
stuck
stage
in 2014. He's still like, and that's why I'm like, I feel like a lot of these artists, it's like
and he's trash now.
Gucci Mane was one of the rare ones where it's like he went to jail to like get Diesel and come out. Like it's like he went there to like artist development to come out.
He went to jail to go get jacked.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He came out better. You could say he was more.
Wait, hold up.
Listen, Gucci Mane, as an A&R, not musically, but as an A&R,
Gucci
A&R,
Mane,
he came out better.
Mane has never been a good musician, right?
Nah.
Like, right?
He just dropped an 80.
Gucci Mane is not a good artist.
Yo, he's never been a good artist.
He's,
right?
He's not. He's not that great. But he just dropped an 80-track album. Did you listen to one?
It didn't come out yet. It didn't come out yet. I am going to listen to it, and it didn't come out yet. So make sure you know your facts. It's coming out this Thursday.
Wait, let me look it up.
It didn't come out yet.
Gucci Mane
is one of the... If there would be no trap music right now, there would be no Young Thug, there would be no Gunna, there would be no...
Yo.
They didn't have... It came out?
Did Drake not pass Lil Wayne? Just because you're a father and influence does not mean that you were ever the top.
But would you consider Lil Wayne trash? That's fine.
So Icy Boys. It's out. You
next. I'm listening.
And you call him fine.
It can be real, bro. If your favorite artist in the world drop an 80 track album, are you even touching it?
No.
Yeah.
Hell nah, bro. Come on. It's 80 songs.
Not my favorite artist in the world. Yeah. Okay, 80 songs. Of course.
I was like the first.
Nah,
hit.
Bro. Like,
you got. You talking about Burna Boy drops 30 songs? You ain't listen to 80 songs. You ain't listen.
It would demoralize me knowing I can never finish this shit.
16 tracks is like the sweet spot now.
Huh?
16 tracks is the sweet spot now. I feel like all these 20 tracks, it's just the finesse of like the streaming counts for the first week sales.
I think Flacco just has a problem. I get that. Flacco all day in court was like, bro, I'm not going to make it. It was like 10:30.
Yo, it was like, yo,
been there for like an hour.
I told him that, bro. I'm not going to make it, bro.
I'm just going to get this picture and get out of here. They just try to take a picture. They're like, yo, you can't take pictures. Yeah,
like, it reminds me of like fucking high school, yo. I'm like sitting down and listening to niggas talk for like hour and a half, then fucking recess. Back here for an hour and a half, recess.
Yo,
again, bro. I'm like, oh, come on, man.
You're making money now, right? Why don't you just pay some, get an intern to do that?
Oh, hell. Now, listen up, bro. I want to know, like, the actual scoop and know the actual knowledge, right? That's why I was actually
They could record the whole thing for you.
Hell, bro, that's a felony, right?
Now you can't record in there.
Yeah, that's a felony, man.
Yo, shit, but you got to get shooters. But we'll take the case for you.
Yeah. We're talking about somebody that's locked up, too. Yo, we got a lot of rappers that are locked up. But R. Kelly
admitted it.
Himself, R. Kelly, dropped a I Admit It studio album from jail. And there's rumors that he might be getting out.
No, hell no. Nah. No, that's cap.
Wait, you just said he admitted it, and then he's going to get out.
In the album, he said, he said, I like younger legal girls, is what he said.
Yeah. But he's been saying that.
No, didn't he cut? He said that's not his album. It was somebody leaked it.
Yeah.
So he came out later and he said.
Yeah.
It's hard to know when you're.
Yeah, right.
Why do you leak an album on Spotify?
No, right. So, like, and he's saying that, like, somebody gained access to it, went to TuneCore, posted that shit, right? And he's saying that, like, they posted it to sabotage his thing, right?
Wait, but what did he make this album, though?
No, like,
I don't know. All music. Is it a whole album or it's just one song?
No, the whole album. Yeah.
I heard the one song where he's like, I admit it.
A 19-minute song? But that shit was heat, bro. Come on. That 19 minutes. Listen.
I loved R. Kelly, man. I grew up on 12 play. I have the original 12 play audio double. Man, that shit.
That's the question, though. So
I believe I could fly.
Yeah, right now. Right, so listen, right? So look, that's the question, though. When do we have to, okay, so do we just always separate the person from their art, or do we have to, I guess, you know, like, treat it as the same and, you know, and like, cut off the art if the person is just the deplorable human being?
Well, I actually think it goes back to the rap music and lyrics. So I don't believe that you can't use rap lyrics all the time. Mm-hmm. I think there's a time and a place when you should be able to use a rap lyric. So, for example,
they're gonna be all after you in the DMs now.
Hey, man, hey, look. For example, if I'm on live and I'm rapping while committing a murder, maybe then you should use my rap lyrics.
No, I'm playing.
Of course.
Or if there's evidence of me leaving the 7-Eleven and I leave in my red Tesla, and while I'm leaving, I shoot the cashier, and then later that night, there's also a song that drops in my red Tesla shooting it, right? You get my point. My point is,
it's more than just fiction.
If there's fucking critical evidence showing that, yo, this guy is rapping about the crime, great. If a guy's just saying, right now, the way prosecutors use it is, you're on trial for a gun possession charge, and they pull out every song where you've ever mentioned a gun, and they say, look, this guy loves guns.
Or every music video where you have guns.
It's like, where's the nexus? Where's the connection? How are you tying the lyrics to the crime? Mm-hmm. And they're not, and I don't like that. I think if there's a very clear tie, there's a time and a place to use them. Likewise, you brought up separating the art. Mm-hmm. Look, if the guy is convicted of sexual assault, multiple sexual assaults of younger women, and he's making fucking bump and grind, I think you've crossed the line. You got to be like, yo, I don't know about this art anymore. Like,
he got a song. He wrote a song for Aaliyah, AJ 9 by Number.
He got that.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, new rule. If you get convicted of statutory rape, we can't put AJ Nothing But a Number on fucking Spotify. Come on, man. Like, yeah. As a principle, the art should be separated from the crime. But when the crime is when it's that close, I can't listen.
What's
to that
the youngest girl that he's been like 13. Allegedly involved? Oh shit!
Right,
but there was like 13, but Elvis messed with 13-year-olds. People take that away from his music. Even Kanye West right now, with everything he's going through, there's a whole bunch of Kanye fans that are just gonna take the music and just hold it. But to the lyric part, you said, I like at the end of the day, I don't agree with them using the lyrics in court cases, but the reason why I think they're able to use it is because back in the day, rappers were able to tell stories and use certain metaphors and similes hidden messages in their raps, talking about real street shit. Okay. Now, rappers have just got worse in lyrics and metaphors. So I just can't think of a clever way to say that my boy killed someone. So instead of coming with a clever way so the cops can't, I'm just going to say, yo, Mitch caught a body about a week ago, because trying to come up with a metaphor, a simile, it's going to be a little too hard, and fuck that. Let me just say that because it's easier, and because they're making easier raps, it's easier for DAs to dissect, because rappers were talking shit, gang members all the time, back to 50 Cent, Ghetto Quran, talking about street shit all the time, but it was a certain way that they were able to deliver the message with their lyricism, and lyricism is not as important now, and because of that, I feel like that's why people are getting caught. Wait, because you're just saying it straight up. Mitch caught a body about a week ago. You're Mitch. That's who caught a body about a week ago. So I feel like the lyricism went down, and that's why we're able to get locked up easier now.
Bro, again, man, like, I'm somebody who, you know, bro, I'm all for using that shit, right? Again, meaning, no.
Are you in a gang, Flacco?
No. But, okay. No, but, like, if somebody shoots up somebody's mama house, and I think we can all insinuate who you know I'm talking about, right? if somebody shoots up somebody's mama house and then rapping a song, yeah, you know, we shot up that boy mama house. Come on, bro. Like, at what point do we say, yo, this is like, this should be used. This is not okay. This type of behavior should not be, you know, endorsed and protected, right? So listen, I'm all for it, bro.
Like that lyric, I'm not too mad about that because he didn't say the person's name. These New York niggas is literally saying, mm-hmm. I shot Bobby's mom, or I shot Daniel's mom.
Yeah.
They do it
with the I'll say who it is, allegedly Young Thug line, that Young Thug line. He, at the end of the day, he's talking about shooting up somebody. And don't get me wrong, the coincidence and stuff, but that's a stretch, I feel like.
That was a Lil Wayne bust, right?
No, he shot up YNF Lucci's mom. Mama.
Allegedly,
YNF Lucci's mom's house got shot up, and they're saying that it's Young Thug. I don't know who did what, but that's what the word is on the street.
Right. Okay. Bro.
To me, there's no nexus there. Mm-hmm. To me, the idea that you're going to use a lyric... First of all, you talk about... A sort of the most commonly used piece or like term that somebody will use to get at you, your mama.
Yeah.
Right? That's the most, that is so generic. The idea that you're going to take a yo mama line mm-hmm. and now tie that to YSL, YFN, that's crazy.
That's something like, that's a stretch. Yeah.
But then it's like what you said mm-hmm. with the when you go to a 7-Eleven in a red Tesla and somebody is in question for shooting up someone's mom's house, then it's like maybe the yo mama joke / lyric makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you got to show it. So the example I used is I'm accused of shooting the cashier at a 7-Eleven on July 11th. And on July 11th at 9 p.m., I recorded a song called Shot the Cashier at 7-Eleven. Okay, great. Use that lyric. No problem. Mm-hmm. But the idea that you're going to say, oh, you rap, didn't you, Mr. Thug, didn't you rap, I shot at her mom at his mama's house, he a bitch. Yes. Who were you talking about? No one. Okay. Where's the rest of the story?
Mm-hmm. And we don't know when he wrote that lyric, too.
The timing has to definitely line up, or at least be afterwards.
Right.
And that was years after that. Juice WRLD song was out so long. Like, they literally pulled that off a year after saying that. So I don't see where they pulled that off.
Yes, right. So, but, you know, like, they def don't just use lyrics, though, right? Like, they have to, like, use the lyrics to...
It's a supplementary thing.
Yeah, right. Sure. Right. So, you know, I guess, like, that's the issue that, like, most people think is, like, yo, like, they're just using these lyrics to just... No, right? They're, like... Those lyrics have to be associated with something, right? So,
but at trial,
of course.
Right now, the lyrics are being used as the main evidence to deny people bonds, to get indictments.
Yeah,
right. So, in the Lil Zay Osama case,
they tried to stop
him from getting a bond based solely on the lyrics. Young Thug case, the Gunna case, a lot of what's happening in the pretrial is based solely on the lyrics. At trial, in order to make those lyrics admissible relevant evidence, they're going to have to tie it together and put those other facts. Otherwise, you'll hear the attorney object and say, what does this have to do with anything? Foundation. You got to lay the foundation. But right now, the way it is, before you get to trial, those lyrics are being used against you to deny you a bond. That's bullshit.
Yeah. Yo, how does Zay Osama like beat that case? Was it like just
if I had to guess, so Osama was accused of possessing a gun and they were saying that they knew that based on an Uber driver saying it. Mm-hmm. And so no Uber driver, no case. I'm guessing the Uber driver wasn't going to testify.
So I'm just assuming, right, that when they like, you know, like, went back to, like, try to arrest him, right? He could have said, no, like that's not mine, and he's lying. So, like, how did they make a determination and say, okay, this Uber driver is telling the truth?
Well, I think what happened is the Uber driver finds a gun in his car, calls the police. The police are like, all right, who was in the car last? He probably then gave him whoever his Uber passenger was. Mm-hmm. Maybe they had some footage. And then the cops probably showed him, you know, pictures of the guys, and they said, well, which one of these guys did you see with the gun? And the driver probably pointed him out, and they went and picked him up.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm just assuming that's why he was charged. Because there was multiple people in the car. The Uber driver found the gun. How do you choose Osama? The driver or video camera footage inside the car would have to lead to Osama. So, a couple weeks later, go ahead.
So let's say, how do I get out of this scenario? I am the Uber driver. the passenger leaves the gun. I don't want to go to the police, but I don't want to get caught with this gun. What do I do?
Call the police. Sorry. Wipe it but clean, if we're talking about what is the right thing to do.
No, I'm not talking about that. I cannot go to the police because I'm scared. I'm just saying, I'm scared that whoever's gun is, they're going to find out that I snitched on them. So I don't want to go through that, but I need to get rid of this gun.
Right, because they're going to go through the Uber records, likely, mm-hmm. and be like, this is...
I mean, if you try to get rid of that gun and you believe that you're trying to avoid snitching on this individual who's going to get in trouble.
Not even just I want to protect myself, so I just don't. I don't want to involve myself at all.
Right. Because
he doesn't. Yeah.
I'm the Uber driver. Because in my thing, I feel like that Uber driver probably didn't want to snitch, but it's like, what the fuck do I do
to get
this gun out of my car? Because think about your Uber driver and the gun's left in your car, and it's like, fuck.
I don't want to get shot by them, but you don't want to get caught by the police.
Yeah. So what am I going to do with the gun?
That's a good question, bro. I don't know.
That's why I can't be Uber driver, because that scenario, even him not testifying, is like, probably was too scared to be called the gun and it's saying it's his at that point.
Oh, yeah. He probably called the police because he wanted to just be safe and he had to do something with the gun. But anyway, I'm guessing a couple weeks later, mm-hmm. after they picked up Osama and they're preparing the case and mm-hmm. whatnot, the driver probably disappeared or just said, yo, I'm not testifying.
Witness protection?
Shit, man, bruh. If I'm someone, I'm saying, nah, that nigga lying. That's his shit. You feel me? That's not my shit. But that is his shit, right?
But that's snitching.
Yeah.
That's snitching as a street. If I'm like, that is not mine, that's what I'm saying. It's so fucked up because even Osama, he can't be like, yo, that's the... Because why are you snitching on the driver? Why are you cooperating with police saying that that's his gun? It's all a fucked up scenario just leaving a gun anywhere.
Man, right? Yo, but I do want to like touch on Kanye real quick, right? Before we like head up out of here. Yo... As two ways, you're like Indian, right?
I'm Indian and I'm Muslim.
So you're a person of color still, right? So you, what's your take on Kanye?
Did you just assume my
yeah,
my
right,
race?
Like, yeah,
what
right?
the fuck, man?
Wait, right? Wait, like, what are you?
What's he's German, he's Irish.
I'm black.
Okay.
Hey, man.
That's how I, you know.
Right?
What's it called? I identify myself.
Right.
No.
But,
brother, I'm white. What's good?
But like, what's your right? But like, what's your general take on Kanye? Like, past the anti-Semite,
I
think, right?
Semite.
Yeah, right. Just you know, like, just in general, like now with his new recent comments about Rosa Parks.
Yeah. Okay. Like, so I dug into that. Rosa Parks. Historically might not have been the first woman to stop in the bus, but regardless, like, it was a movement that needed to be done. So I don't mm-hmm. care if she was a plant or whatever. Mm-hmm. Secondly, more recent news, he came out and said he might be autistic. So he might be trying to use that as like some social awareness, separation, I guess, to kind of avoid all of the scrutiny that he's received.
For sure. Yeah. But he might be autistic.
No, yeah, you know, he very well might be autistic, for sure.
I think Kanye is a scary omen for the world. Let me tell you what I mean mm-hmm. by that. So I remember when I was, I don't know, I was in high school, MTV Cribs was on, or some show on MTV, and they had Ye and his mom, and his mom was showing all these pictures that he had drawn.
Yeah.
And they were beautiful pictures. They were like crazy.
I thought you were going to say some like demon shit.
I mean, they were crazy. This is crazy, bro. So she's like, oh, look at these. He had drawn all these in high school by the time he was 16.
Nigga, crazy.
And then Ye comes in and he's like, yo, those aren't just pictures. Those are beats because I think in 3D.
No, but that's actually how a lot of autistic people think.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's what made me think about
it. What is it called when you're like super skilled at one particular subject? It's a... You're autistic, but it's... Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly
what
you mean.
What is it called?
I don't know the word.
Ugh.
So this guy is slightly... And he comes in. He's like, look, this is actually... He says the song. He's like, this is the hi-hat. And this is the... And it was beautiful, bro. There was this amazing piece of art that he had drawn with his hands. Mm-hmm. And he was showing you... And you could hear the beat on that piece of picture. Why do I say it's a bad omen? So here's a guy who's been in rooms that we'll never be in. He's been around people that will never be around. He's seen things that we'll never see.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who thinks in 3D and is slightly autistic. Mm-hmm. And here's a guy who believes that today in this world, if you go out there and you say shit like Heil Hitler, if you say shit like the Jews are horrible, if you say shit like Rosa Parks was a plant, it's going to work. Here's a genius, an unquestioned genius, a man with incredible pedigree, a man at the height of fame, money, power, and he thinks that this is a viable route to people's hearts and minds. What does that tell?
Controversy.
What? Well, fuck controversy. Just hate. Hate.
Maybe
right?
Because he's received a lot of hate.
Well, unquestionably, he is affected by, like, he's lost his family, his wife, and that's crazy, and that's gonna drive. But just put that to the side for a second, right? Because let's look at him for what he is. He's a modern day Messiah. He's Jesus walks, right? For lack of a better word, in our culture, in our country, he's as close as you're gonna get to Muhammad or Jesus or any of them motherfuckers.
Yeah. Not facts.
And I disagree, but okay.
He is, bro. Who? Elon Musk?
He's famous, but.
But who do you have? Who are the
people
leaders?
People praise him, though. He's not.
Yeah. I think people are turning on him. I see Twitter just being like, nah, we ain't listening to this guy anymore.
I don't know about that.
Oh, but that cult following him.
He's for sure got a cult.
Wait, let's take a poll here. You see people turning on him?
No. I see people treat him the same way. Because the minute he did slavery was a choice, you already knew he was already out there and stuff.
I still think.
People are still listening to his streaming numbers are still up. That's why I can't say they're not.
Up until like the Yahtzee shit, I'm just gonna say Yahtzee for demonetization purposes. I feel like he always had some sort of like background point that maybe you could catch on to, but now it's like blatantly like, okay, that's you're fucked up. You get what I'm saying?
Because even wait, even like with that, I've seen people say, "Yo, listen," like even when he was like praising that, "Yo, he's a Christian. He's trying to teach us how to love everybody." Yeah, it's a nuanced conversation.
Right.
You feel me? Right? Like, right?
People don't want to admit it. There's a lot. And it's a bad omen if a person who's this smart in this position with this opportunity chooses to go this route. It's Trump all over again. It's a guy who realizes that, hey, I think this shit's going to work. And if it does, what does that say about where we're at? Like, yo, you can't. Lead with love is bullshit. He's not leading with love. He's leading with hate. But where are we at, bro? Like, as a society, we can't fucking get on the same page about nothing. All we could do is incite people's fucking hatred. That's all you can do. You can't get a fucking brother with love. You can get a brother with hate.
I think where we're at in society is that what's rewarded is controversy and hate, like you said.
Hate sells, bro.
Right, so Kanye's getting all this attention and views, so he thinks just continue to do it, because even though he's getting hella hate, he probably doesn't even read all the comments. He probably just is all off in his own world.
Of course.
But it's more streams, more money, more everything, and that's what he's done his entire career.
I feel like Kanye just, he thinks so differently to a point, because we got to just be real. In college, I was a communications major. In all my speech classes, they gave up, we learned about all the greatest speech givers, all the people that gave, they teach us about Hitler, and they don't teach us about Hitler on the sense of the Holocaust and all the lives he killed. They talk about his leadership. They talk about how he gave speeches. They talked about how he used propaganda to cultivate all. And I feel like Kanye West's crazy mind is looking at the actual good traits that Hitler used as a leader to use propaganda to have all the Germany go against. And I feel like society, we pick and choose, because the same way Hitler, we don't want Kanye West to praise Hitler. I'm sorry, but you got to say the same shit with George Washington. George Washington had slaves. George Washington was raping these slaves, violating them, but we praised them.
Jeez.
America just got out of taking down these statues that had all these slave leaders and stuff up and stuff, praising them. So you get what I'm saying? Kanye West was doing what people in America do all the time. They just pick and choose, because George, for black people, they could feel the same exact fucked up way about Hitler with George Washington. He did violate a lot of black people, but in America, we praise George Washington. He's on our dollar bill. So you get what I'm saying? Kanye, and I'm not fucking with, I just don't fuck with nobody that does fucked up shit, but I'm saying we got to stop picking and choosing, because we got to say the same shit for George Washington or all these all these slave owners that their statues are still up to this current day in America.
You're right. And then, like, yes, but I feel like the deeper conversation is, why do people, why do they grant access to have a nuanced conversation when it's about slave owners, right? But they are in fear and shutting down, I guess, his nuanced conversation about...
I think they already did.
You know,
They banned him off Twitter.
Right. But
and YouTube videos are getting I've had videos of about Kanye where it's just getting stifled.
Right, right. But though, like we allow the open and nuanced conversation about Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. We say, you know what, listen, man. Listen, like, yeah, they were slave owners, but yo, you know, they wrote this, they, you know, right, you know, that's they passed this, right?
With Hitler. That's literally what he's doing. I think it's because they're not here to explain themselves, whereas what? Kanye is. Look, I'm not defending them, don't worry.
No, yeah.
Don't worry. I'm just saying, in general, like, they're not here to explain it, therefore, people are like, you know, probably the white supremacists are like, yo, blah, 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 whereas Kanye, again, he's right here.
Not about Kanye though, right? Right, right. So, like, what, like, I think, like, Rob is saying is, how's it different from Kanye praising that Nazi than, you know, this, like, MAGA guy praising Thomas Jefferson and George Washington? One was a slave owner, and some even instituted the system of slavery.
They raped, though. No. They were slaves, and they raped these women. Like, they did fucked up shit.
Right, bro.
But we're not there. Like, we don't have video surveillance, so that's why some people are still in denial. Like,
Kanye's saying about... I'm not saying this, though. Let me just get across. But that's what Kanye's saying about the Holocaust.
Right.
He's saying the same exact thing.
You're right.
I think, first off, there's a recency to the Holocaust, and that sort of explains it a little bit.
Yeah,
I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of how evil both of these things were. Mm-hmm. I think with the Holocaust, people associate the concentration camps and the gas chambers, and they see Hitler as a super villain, and it's very easy to just, that's the Holocaust. There's this fucking villain, he rounded them all up, put them in camps, and he killed them in gas chambers. Yeah. And that's it. And that's the most... That's the sort of the worst storyline you could ever come up with for a villain. And people lose in that equally evil is the concept of owning another man, that you actually thought that was acceptable. That you actually thought that you're going to take fucking people from here and bring them here and make them
yours. But you didn't even think they were people.
And you didn't even think they were people. That is equally abhorrent, but it's harder to tell that, to sort of crystallize that as pure evil. The way, you know, it just resonates of more. Hitler, concentration camps, gas chamber versus slavery.
But it's
just,
what you was taught. Did you go to school in America?
Bro, I recently had this conversation with someone. I can't believe that they... And so I was getting to this point. You know, that there's this story, Hitler... And slavery is just... it's part of our story, right? There was a period of slavery. Slavery. And we just talk about it like it's fucking slavery, like it should be part of your fucking language. I went to fucking public school in Queens in fucking third grade, chapter 2, fucking slavery. Yeah, there was some slaves. It's all over now. Emancipation Proclamation. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. It's too soon. Maybe it will always be too soon to ever try to talk about the good characteristics of Hitler. I saw you wanted to do that. I thought it was...
Kanye wanted to do that. But
it's never too late to stop talking about the second-class treatment, the treatment of African-Americans in this country. It's never too late to stop talking about that.
Yeah.
And so what you guys are expressing, I'll answer the question. Nobody else wants to do it. No Jumper might want to air me out, cancel me. You might want to censor this. You want to know why? Because black people aren't in positions of power in the media. Yeah. If fucking every media organization was run by black people, we would be taught about and we would be talking about and people would be way more sensitive to fucking slavery.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And the fact of the matter is we are taught about and we are extremely sensitive to the Holocaust. And the fact of the matter is there's a point there. Mm-hmm. There's a point there. And this is what Dave Chappelle was talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so... The question that you guys raise, it's absolutely fair, but don't let the hate lead you, right? It's not about fucking one person's, hey, who has it worse? It's not about that. It's not a competition of who has the most tragic story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what it should be is an acknowledgement of, well, let's see, these stories. Where are we today because of them?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do now? What can we do in the here and now to to deal with this, right? Everybody's so angry about slavery. Everybody's so angry about the Holocaust. What can we do in the here and now to deal with this? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, an important question. I don't think it gets talked about a lot. I don't think it gets talked about at all. And I think, you know, it should be, because there's a lot that we can do in the here and now to fix the remnants of slavery. And if there's stuff that we need to be doing in the here and now to fix the remnants of the Holocaust, great. Yeah, we can do that too. But the conversation that people don't want to have is, nobody wants to fucking talk about what we can do to fix the remnants of slavery. Nobody has to talk about what we need to do to fix the remnants of the Holocaust. And these are important conversations. I think Kanye West is completely crazy. I think he's lost.
But he lost it.
I think he led with hate. But is he dying on the cross to show everybody some of the reality of the world that we live in? Some of the lack of attention that certain issues get? I can't say that he's not.
It's definitely like unintentional though, right? Because I do feel like he's going down this route for his own self-serving purposes, you know. But
what he was just saying was, it might not be so self-serving. He might be trying to die on the cross so that it exposes some sort of like.
Oh no, it's truth. Self-serving.
But it might expose some sort of truth that we're trying to get at here.
Accidentally, maybe, right?
Do you think there's just a level of fame that certain people just mentally can't comprehend? Because he's trying to say it's similar to what happened to Michael Jackson. Around 50 years old, that's when Michael Jackson passed away, but then he had the issues with getting his catalog back. And Kanye West said it was with the Jewish record label owners. So do we think there's a certain level, because there's a certain level like Jay-Z that could probably handle it, but then there's people like Kanye that when they reach a certain amount of money, they reach those certain rooms, that's just too much for them to handle?
Well, one, right? I think that Kanye is definitely trying to use, and we all know, like, how sensitive, like, that conversation about ownership is to, like, black folks, right? So I feel like people like Kanye, you know, like, they know exactly how to pimp out these, like, racial ideas, right? You know, like, to make it seem as if they're fighting for something, right? And honestly, like, Kanye is fighting for himself. But again, that's not, listen, I don't even have an issue with that. Nor do I think that everything Kanye has said was wrong, right? I just feel like the Rosa Parks comment was where I kind of hopped off the bus and said, you know what, bro? You know, maybe he's crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
But he just wanted stuff for attention, though.
Yeah, but that's a great point for us to leave on. It's 8 p.m., you feel me? Mo got somewhere to be. We got somewhere to be, man. So, you know,
amazing listen. Show. We got the lawyer extraordinaire in the building. Thank you, brother, man.
I love when
Thank
I get
you.
Called the lawyer. That's
yeah, man.
The lawyer.
You feel me? So man, listen, man. Next week, we'll be back. Follow Mo at
Lawyer for Workers.
Yeah, man. You feel me? On all platforms, right? On Twitter, too?
Yeah, I just got on Twitter. Shout out to Big Elon.
Oh, where?
When the case is over, you gotta pull back up, man. So we can really get when the case is over, the verdict, man. And all that.
Wait, like the verdict will be read out when on Monday, probably.
So the trial will probably go on all week, probably lead into a little bit of next week, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. Damn. Probably get a verdict by the end of next week.
Yeah, I'll be real. After like the Megan and Kelsey testimony, like, is there any more reason to even like come back?
Yeah.
I mean,
Tory for the verdict.
Tory might testify. Okay.
Yeah, the defendant.
Corey Gamble. Yeah.
The prosecution will put up their whole case.
Yeah.
And then the defense team was going to have a powwow like, yo, should we have him testify or not? So it's still in play. It's possible.
Man, listen, man. I'm going to be there reporting, you know, on, you know, like everything that goes down, man. But yeah, man. Folks, thanks for coming through, man. It's the Monday show. Come back next week. We're out of here, man. Peace. Oh, man. Mo, man. Thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for having me.